in the same manner in which we have cooperative fire protection with you downtown, here in town. When you call on us, we come out on Fort Wainwright and put your fires out in some cases, and we back you up. I would imagine if we had a fire out there that was such nature that we couldn't handle it, the same type of an arrangement would be just like you do today. We have talked with Bob Sundberg several times about the fact of the type of jurisdiction you would have when there was some talk with the university about putting a training school out there. I think it was several months ago. I think that from every time I say this, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. I think those arrangements are really nothing more than what we do today. I mean, we release to a group out there, and I would say that police jurisdiction, if they come off on the military reservation, and we have a magistrate system, if they speed on the post, if they commit murder over near the PX someplace, by area, the FBI controls, you know, that type of thing.
Of course, the impact is going to be tremendous, you know, much more than we envision now, isn't it? So we're going to have probably different guidelines, and that's why I asked the question. Because we're going to have many, many other people not under the control of the military. As a result, it puts a different flavor over the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And Tom, you have a fast, short question.
Yes, a very short question. Somebody brought up years ago, Mr. Elder, would you describe what you think might be the maximum limits of usage of the airstrip in a possible issue in competition with international air?
The question is, what would be the maximum use of the airstrip in Fort Wainwright in the competition with the international
and Metro and
the others in the area? That was a pretty long question, even though it was short now, Tom.
No, I can't do much better than I already have. The typical light aircraft, otters and that sort of thing that we're using now, but down the pipeline, would come in there and drop people, pick up people, and take them back to the job. I wouldn't discount the hurt coming in there, depending on what supplies we might have to set up. But finally, I guess the best way I can come back is what do you mean by competition?
Well, we have existing facilities right here that are supported by tax money, revenue bonds.
Well, I think, for instance, that the typical of the question that I'm not prepared to answer is that you've got landing fees here. For all I know, they would apply there, for instance. Because we've been waiting on a proposal to look at.
There's a question way in the back of the room.
Yeah, mine was more of a suggestion than a question. Naturally, you don't know who your subcontractors are yet, neither do we. But if you had somebody in your organization or the people that have services and facilities that they'd like to offer, if you had somebody in your organization that would accept these proposals and then in turn pass them on to your subcontractors as you obtain them, it'd certainly help the people that have supplies and furnishings that they'd like to give you in the area.
That's a fair shot. Now, to some degree, we're attempting through the press releases and so on to make everybody aware of what contracts were out, what contractors have been asked. I think just recently when the road bid went out, we said any contractors interested in subcontracting work on this should contact so-and-so. Now, specifically on facilities, to the best of my knowledge, other than what we've accumulated as we went along, we don't have that. I think that's a thing for us to consider. I would suspect that once we get a few more people into town, which will be happening pretty soon, no matter what happens to Wainwright, that we'll be in a position of giving a local contact on that kind of information. That certainly would be our intent.
You know, we've waited, Fairbanks has waited a long time for the pipeline. And the trouble is, now that we feel it's coming, we need information because we hope that we can have it as orderly as possible. And the trouble is that we don't get the answers that we need in order to make the decisions that will make it as easy on the people that are coming in and as easy on the people that are going to be here. And it is difficult. I haven't found out yet today that you have any indication whether you're going to have 100 families come in next week or next month or 4 months from now. And yet, we're supposed to have the facilities, a lot of the public facilities that you will want to use and that you need to use. And so I feel that if we could only get some faster answers than we've been getting, then it would help us a lot. Because we've never built a pipeline, and I would say that your firm, your consortium has had lots of experience in it.
You should know a little bit. Like this.
Well, I know, but it's more than we have.
Well, you've got a good point. I wish we could do better. For example, on housing, we will be able to do better within the next few weeks. There's guys getting ready right now to do that very thing on residential housing. Now, it isn't that we haven't made the survey and so on, but I guess we're extremely gun-shy, and this can account for some of the reasons we've done that. We don't want to infer something that doesn't happen. We've all had enough of that. And I'd be glad to speculate with anyone that I think we'd like to see 25 or 30 families in Fairbanks in about 30 days, and we'd like to see it be 150 by the 1st of April, and we'd like to see it be a couple of hundred by the end of the year. Now, those are fair numbers. I think they're pretty good, but I wouldn't feel that it would be good business. In the first place, those are not all that big, but it would be good business to take that sort of a number and do anything big on it. Have a hell of a time floating a bond issue.
But what I mean, all right, you plan maybe on 100, but then what if there's 1,000? Or
there won't
someone
be 1,
speculates. Now, this is
I'm not that order of magnitude. People I was just describing, which is our technical people, it will not be 1,000 in 2 months. I can say that with great certainty.
Or 3,000 in 6 months.
Of the technical people?
No.
The people we will cause to come up and execute the contract. Now, I can go further than that just to complicate your problem, and I can sympathize with it. As soon as we start moving a little more than we are now, the oil exploration is going to start on the North Slope again. You tell me how many supply companies are going to come into town or back into town. How many oil companies are going to locate their production activity here? I think there's a lot of certainty there's some, but we can't quantify that one. But we always remind people that there's the oil business is going to start again on the north. And so that everything, that's why it's a little dangerous. We say we're going to send in 100 families and somebody makes a big plan. We're doing the best we can, but that may generate the exploration people to send in another 100. Now we're 100% wrong. Yeah, well, I can say that. Again, just the management, technical, or professional guys that we're most worried about residential housing, at least ourselves. I think you can rest assured that that's not 3,000 over the term of the job.
John, you had a question.
I just wanted to reiterate, also clarify, I think Charlie gets some of that. He's only talking to 200 families at Taliesin. I don't believe you're alluding to the satellite corporations who will be coming here. The trip we made to Edmonton several years ago, they stressed the large influx of residential or the people that come in because of the pipeline-oriented work. I think that one thing that might be misleading when Charlie says 200 people by September, there may be the 2,000 and it may be 1,800 to come because of the Alyeska operation. Am I right, Charlie? Are you going to say? I mean, you're
always right.
Okay, thank you. So I'm saying that the people you're talking to 200 here in September, but you have no control. There may be 1,800 families move up here on August 31st in the Satellite Corporation.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me to say it over and over that the only forecast that we are attempting to make by those people that we can see right now will cause to come. And it's not the world's greatest, but the forecast is. I guess my broad statement on this is that for better or for worse, you probably have to expect more than you ever thought would be around.
Mr. Elder, we don't want you to, we have a great sense of community in Fairbanks. We don't want anybody to get the feeling that we're in an adversary role here. Because we've had your men in our community and their sons, we take care of them and they've been a great part of our community. And we're all talking as if we're adversaries. We just have a sense of community and apprehensive.
Well, I can appreciate that. I know it. Thank you kindly, and I don't feel you are.
I don't want to go from the beginning to the end, but one of my list of questions was, what kind of provisions have you made for tidying up or whatever whatever has to be done when everything is through? Have you thought of that? To go from the beginning to the end? But still, it's a problem that'll be with us.
The question is, what are you going to clean up the... What are you going to do to clean up the construction and so forth in this area after it's all over?
It'll come. What's the answer?
Well, again, I can only speak for that is under Alyeska's control, which is the entire pipeline job. I'm not flubbing all on subcontracting to anything else. It'll be cleaner than you've ever seen one cleaned up before. I guess so. It'll be cleaner than I've ever seen one. Really.
We have a microphone now, so if you folks would step up to the microphone to ask your questions, then we'll all be able to hear. Chuck, are you going to step up or not?
No, I think I'm loud enough. Charlie, this morning.
No.
Make room. This morning at the breakfast with Mr. Krause, Charlie, he was asked the question about the takeoff of the pipeline, for the North Pole refinery. And when you were up here last year, you thought maybe this was not a possibility. And this is all probably going to be in the papers today. So, yeah. Is it now?
I'll take this chance to say I was misquoted in the newspapers to start with. What I said was, and I said it very carefully, and I'm going to very carefully say it again, insofar as Alyeska is concerned, and the contract that we have with the owner companies, we've been told to design and build a pipeline from Prudhoe to Valdez with no oil leaving in between. And we've been authorized to build it and design it that way. That is Alyeska's position. We simply cannot comment. This is a common carrier, and it will carry oil for anyone who wants to ship. And there's certain recognized, accepted practices of taking oil off of pipelines and so on. I can't discuss this problem because it's a problem of a shipper and not our pipeline company. And I intended to say that the last time. I did say quite clearly there's no provision for a takeoff at Fairbanks. I'll say it just as clearly again, there is no provision for a takeoff at Fairbanks. Now, the newspaper said, Elder says there will be no oil in the Fairbanks. To me, there's a difference. Maybe there isn't.
Okay, now, along with that then, should our utilities then, if they want to, there was some conversation in the paper several weeks ago of wanting to tap into that. For bunker fuel or whatever it's called or something.
Tap into the line?
I thought that's what they were talking about. I mean, for something to burn. Is there, would they have to make applications on this or what? maybe somebody from the city can address himself, but I thought it was in the paper about that.
Well, I can tell you what you need to do in respect to the pipeline, that the people who wish oil delivered someplace other than Valdez from Prudhoe needs to discuss this with the owners of the company, of Valdez.
And make application to them, et cetera.
Well, I won't go, I couldn't describe the procedure because I don't know exactly. I might say just for clarification that the word tap off the pipeline is a dangerous, quite a lot more than just a tap off the pipeline.
Now, back to what Mrs. Brown was asking you, you know, about figures. We need something, hopefully, as soon as you can develop it, because we have to go before the legislature and the governor for impact funding, you know, like in the schools, the city, and things like this. And the way it is now, any figures we produce are kind of, you know, ha-ha. But like you just said here, and it'd be worthwhile to quote to them, that the drilling will start again, all the suppliers that were here in 69, I think a lot of us remember what a mess that was, will be coming back in, but this time they'll be staying and building. And as soon as you could get a handle on it, any type of a handle, I think it would be appreciated by all three of the government entities, so we've got something solid to send to Juneau to support our claims for dollars.
Yeah, well, I think the best thing I can do is be less than honest if I said otherwise, that I don't feel that we have the capability or would want to accept the responsibility for generating those numbers for anything other than our own project. Now, to the extent you want to shoot the bull and so on, I'd be glad to, but I think it would be inappropriate for Alyeska to generate any other numbers other than our own. I've said that we are getting more staff into Alaska now. We will have people working this problem in a lot more detail. We've got more to work with now. After all, that's we can only define requirements for space, for Lord's sakes, in the last 3 months. And we recognize that John has made the same point with us. But I would want just keep making the point that this is the numbers that we feel comfortable in giving you, that we're not blowing any smoke anywhere. But in total, you fellas have a big job that if we can be of any help, but I don't think we should assume the responsibility of generating.
Could Bechtel do it?
No, sir.
They would, under the management, they wouldn't be able to.
Well, they don't know any more than we do.
No, I meant like when Bechtel gives a subcontract, could they say, how many people are you going to bring in?
I thought you were referring now to the oil exploration. Anything involved with the pipeline, we'll be able to generate.
That's what I mean. Now, right, like when Bechtel starts the subs out, they can say, how many people will you bring to Fairbanks and then relay those figures to us?
Yeah.
You follow me?
Now, we'll be rigged to do that on a regular basis when we get underway. Now, let me say again that when you go to Juneau, that's only a part of your problem. Well, it's a very small part of your problem.
You know our legislators, huh?
Mr. Elder, I'd like to ask this. You talked about importing technical personnel, bring all these people up here. What part in this development would you do with local technical contractors and local personnel being hired to implement this pipeline construction?
Well, I suspect we'll use about all of them, but the personnel I'm speaking of now are people who have been on this project for all the way from 6 months to 4 years. And they're the people who have grown up with the many, many changes and the things that have gone on through this. And they're necessary to make this move. There's others that will be coming who are experienced project managers on pipeline projects. But again, I think you can expect that technical people Fairbanks and in the state of Alaska will be utilized to a high degree just as contractors are. I might say that we're getting more and more of them on our own staff.
Another question? Well, this time then, we have time for five more questions. I don't see a hand at all. Okay.
Large area of Fairbanks and the surrounding areas, North Pole and so forth. I'm with radio station KJNP, and I have been going to the Alyeska offices in the downtown here for the last 5-6 months. They have no public relations officer whatsoever, and they tell me that I have to call Anchorage to get any information whatsoever. So now you're telling this large group of people here today that all the headquarters personnel that don't do any physical work but just sit out will be located in Anchorage. So I'm wondering now if you will have a PR man or a public relations man within 2 days or 3 days, so the young lady over here will know when 200 people is coming.
I didn't know they were all that important. Okay. I can't tell you there will be a PR fellow here next week or the week after. I can assure you that it's a part of the build-up that will be starting soon. That will be a piece of it.
Any other questions? Any at all?
Very short comment. I would like to say, speaking for myself and other people I've been able to talk to around town, I think that if Alyeska does move into town, that they can be nothing but a benefit for us. We will all share the profits and the work, the things to be done to build this pipeline. I think we'd all get behind the effort that Alyeska is doing. I, for one, give them my 100% support. Thank you very much.
One more question. Yes, go, Gardner.
I understood you closed the questions but opened the comments, right?
Well, walk to the microphone, and the answer is yes. If you don't, the answer is no.
Well, what I have to say isn't that important to come to the microphone, but since you did change it from questions to comments, I would like to say that I'm very happy to hear the gentleman say they had no money, because we don't either, so we can all start off together on this project, and that's the end of my comment.
Thank you, Dr. Are there any other comments? But this time, Mr. Elder, on behalf of all of the people here, we certainly want to express our appreciation to you and members of your staff for coming to Fairbanks and answering questions, giving us an overview of the project. By the same token, I'm sure that we're all very interested in keeping well informed of activities as they develop, and we would appreciate more contact as the time goes by. If there are no questions, and if the president of the chamber has nothing more to say, the meeting is adjourned. It's adjourned.